This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Welcome to The Walkthrough.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to the week 5 edition of The Walkthrough. I'm your host, the Authentic One, Mr. Matty Q, and I'm joined, of course, like I am each and every Thursday night, the host of America's Game, Mr. Eric Vanek. Eric, what's going on, my friend? Can you already believe we're in week 5, dude?
Yeah, it's week 5, and I wanted to throw myself off a building when I went to go do my lineups this week. Like, everyone's dead. Everyone's on a bye week. Like, there are some teams, like, already, like, geez, I have to pick up somebody off of waivers just to have a legal starting lineup this week. I'm like, this doesn't happen in week 5. Come on.
The destruction going around is nuts. And then when you add in this bye week, the Steelers have fantasy-relevant guys. Not a ton, but some. Falcons are riddled. Bears are riddled. Packers are riddled. It's crazy all the guys who are out already this week. We've already got news that Terry McLaurin is out. We got news already that Chuba Hubbard is trending doubtful. Bucky Irving is looking like he's going to miss. Trey Benson, IR. I mean, it's absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
I saw this tweet from YT Solo. I'm not super familiar with him, but he's a big creator. He tweeted that his season is over. Listen to this team. Joe Burrow, James Conner, Aaron Jones, CeeDee Lamb, Malik Neighbors, George Kittle, Tyreek Hill, Mike Evans. That team, F-U-C-K, Fox. And it's dead. It is dead.
Jeez.
But anyway, we're not here to talk about it. We're not here to mourn the players that are fallen soldiers of fantasy football. We're here to talk about the Week 5 slate. We're going to go each and every game and get you teed up for Week 5 right here before kickoff on Thursday night football. We do have some buys, as I mentioned at the top. Let's get those out of the way. Atlanta Falcons, Chicago Bears, Green Bay Packers, and Pittsburgh Steelers are all on buy, so get them out of your lineups. E, let's start across the pond. You got another 9:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time game. The Minnesota Vikings, they're 2-2, and they stayed out in Europe to take on the 1-3 Browns in England. The Vikings are giving 3.5 points, over under 36.5. Moneyline minus 195 for the Vikings, plus 165 for the Browns. Let's start the Vikings side of things. What have you seen in the Carson Wentz era, we'll call it, that's either concerned you about this offense, encouraged you about this offense, and how are you going to play it in week 5?
Their offensive line is very, very hurt right now. So that had a lot to do with why Carson Wentz was just getting torched last week by Pittsburgh. He did give you a bunch of garbage time, got him back in that game. So if you did start him, it was respectable. But for like 3 quarters, it was looking pretty bad. So yeah, their offensive line not being healthy, and then factor that in, you're going up against the Cleveland Browns this week. It's not great. So that line is, I think, fair. I think the over-under is fair. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a low-ass under, and it might actually hit the under, to be honest with you. So it's going to be interesting. But Wentz was peppering Justin Jefferson. That's exactly what we needed him to do. Addison came back last week. He caught a big one. But everyone else, man, was kind of just blah. Like Hockenson. Yeah, it's just not pretty.
Yeah, are you nervous to play any of the you know the studs? It sounds like you might be about Hockenson, but what about Mason and Addison and Jefferson? Are you just going to kind of play them? What do you have them ranked this week?
Honestly, like a lot of these like guys that I wouldn't usually start, like Mason against the Browns is a very tough matchup.
Super tough, yeah.
Guess what? I probably have to play him because there's nobody else to play. Like, there's so many injured players. Like, he's probably not an RB1, but he's probably a rock-solid RB2. Like, and you're just kind of hoping he falls in the end zone.
Yeah, and if he does, I mean, that puts him possibly in the RB1 territory considering, yeah, you know, what we're looking at and considering what his volume will always be. I got TJ Hockenson at tight end 11 this week. Some of the guys that I'm playing over Hockenson, Dallas Goedert, Juwan Johnson, Dalton Kincaid, which aren't names I really was, you know, think it would be ahead of them already in week 5, but here we are. But as far as Addison and Jefferson go, I got them both as top 30 wide receivers. Carson Wentz has showed me enough that he can get the ball to these guys, so I'm okay, you know, kind of going back to that well. But let's talk about the Browns side of things. Dylan Gabriel, new starting quarterback. Shedeur Sanders literally at a loss for words. Couldn't speak at his locker room or whatever that was. What do you think about that? Let's start there.
It was something to do with Rex Ryan calling him out about something that all he does is talk or something. So he decided to do that as a prank or to get back at Rex Ryan or something. I don't know the whole story, but it was stupid. It's a whole non-story.
I don't really care either way. I don't really have a huge opinion on what he did. But I will just say, as just an observer, is like, man, this is such like a... I guess I'm an old man. I'm almost 40. You know, that's just some Gen Z shit. To just completely, in my opinion, look, embarrass yourself. Like, what are you...
His hair is...
What are you doing?
His hair is what got me. I don't know if you saw the video.
The Friar Tuck do?
Yeah, like he's got the cornrows, and then there's like some like a hairline in the like in front of him. Like, what the fuck are you doing, bro?
Yeah, I mean, growing up, my buddies who had cornrows, they'd always shave the front. You'd get it lined
right,
up.
Yeah.
You'd keep it all nice and neat. This was like some little bit grown out. Like, I don't understand like it. I'm not going to criticize what he looks like. I don't know. I'm 40. What do I know?
He looks like he had like an NBA headband on there or something from back in the day. Like, what is he doing?
Anyway, that's enough about Shedeur. Dylan Gabriel is starting in New England. Quinshon Judkins, I think we're playing. I know I certainly am not fading Quinshon Judkins. I got him at running back 11. They're going to have to do something. But we've been so kind of wishy-washy about this passing attack anyway. So are you going to use are you going to use Dylan Gabriel as a streamer? And, you know, depending on that answer, are you comfortable with guys like Jerry Jeudy, David Njoku, Harold Fannin, any of them?
No, I don't want to use him as a streamer. Like, a rookie against a Brian Flores defense, no thank you. That's I want to avoid that as much as possible. Now, the way for the Browns to be successful in this one is Gabriel kind of has to do what he did in college, meaning he's got to get the ball out super quick. Like, he can't be holding the ball for 5-6 seconds and trying to make a big play downfield. It's got to be a quick offense. Get the ball in, get the ball out. You know, it's got to be like 2 seconds here and there, just fire the ball out there. If they can do that, I think they could have some success, but he's going to get a bunch of disguises here, and against the Vikings defense, it's not pretty.
Yeah, I'm not excited to play anyone on the Browns except for Judkins, so it's going to be tough sledding out here.
I was trying to think, like, who would it be somebody that he practiced a lot with during OTAs and training camp? I think Fannin. I don't know, maybe because Isaiah Bond wasn't there. So, like, I think Fannin might be okay, but who knows?
Right, and at tight end, we'll take 7 targets, even if he only catches 4 or 5 of them. We'll take it. But, you know, it's tough to really kind of game plan for. I got Fannin this week outside of my tight end 1 range. He's been a little bit wishy-washy after that first kind of game. So we're kind of leaving him on the back burner as a kind of a wait-and-see type of situation. Next game, we're going to talk about the 1-3 Houston Texans head to Baltimore to play the 1-3 Lamar Jackson-less Baltimore Ravens. Ravens are getting 2.5 points as home underdogs, over under 41.5, plus 120 for the Ravens on the money line, minus 140 for the Texans. Let's start there with the Texans. Woody Marks' breakout game, week 4, went bazooka. Shout out Big Mike. You know, our guy Mike on Start Shit was all over Woody Marks this week. Woody Marks and RJ Harvey. So, you know, tune in on Sundays when we go live for Start Shit. Yeah. You got to be there for those live stations. But he broke out. Are we going back to the Woody Marks well in week 5 and beyond?
Yeah, I think you kind of have to. I know I do in a few leagues just because of the injuries and buys and everything. So I think a lot of people, if he was available on waivers this week, he was somebody you blew your whole fab budget on. So you're probably going to play him if you did, you know, we're lucky enough to get him. So, I think I like him this week. I don't know, this game kind of feels like just two teams that are 1-3, like whoever loses probably isn't making the playoffs. Like this could be an ugly type of game.
I would say this too, just kind of off kilt. If you have Lamar Jackson on your teams, you should be praying that the Ravens win. A Ravens loss here might delay his comeback a couple weeks, because why would you rush him back if it's looking like tough sledding and he is the franchise? So we're pulling for that.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's missing this week, next week, and then they have a bye. So he's sitting 3 weeks. And then
yeah, they're
going to
let him rest. Yeah, we just want to make sure that doesn't turn into 5 weeks. And that will happen if we do that. But let me ask you this real quick. We'll put a bow on Woody Marks here. So week 5, we're going to go back to the well. But of all the guys that were newly added or new starters for all these fantasy teams, how would you rank Woody Marks in comparison to the Rashad Whites or the Emery DeMercado, Michael Carter crowd?
I think I'd probably put Woody Marks at 1 of all those guys, just because he can catch the ball and Baltimore's defense is completely banged up. Like, they don't have anybody. So I think a good day is in store for Woody Marks. I like Stroud. I don't love playing him. I like Nico Collins. That's probably about it.
Yeah, I'm going to the Nico well. CJ Stroud, I'm kind of done with for fantasy.
Yeah.
Super flex league, sure, you can be my QB2, but in one QB, I'm moving on. I mean, we've just seen it now too many times, too often. The guy's just not putting up big-time fantasy points. We talked about it last week. And then in a good game, it was still right around 20 fantasy points. It wasn't, you know, he didn't go up for 35. He didn't go light the world on fire. But Woody Marks is a top 20 play for me. Nico's Nico. You're going to go to the Nico well all day long. You got him as a top 10 play. But let's talk about the Ravens side of things. Derrick Henry, I saw a stat today where turns out that the Ravens have been giving him the ball the least in the NFL on first and second down. So they rank 32nd in rushes with their running back on first and second down, which is absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
So maybe we see a little bit different now that Cooper Rush is going to be the quarterback. But with Cooper Rush at the helm, talking about this Ravens offense.
Yeah, I don't hate Cooper Rush. Like, he's been pretty solid when he's came in there for Dak the last couple of years. So I don't hate Cooper Rush this week at all. I think he just plays point guard, distributes the ball, and he should be fine. But I think they should definitely feature the run game pretty heavy. I know they have a couple of offensive line injuries, but it's Derrick Henry, man. You got to get him going for sure. And that'll kind of open up the passing game for Cooper Rush to, you know, get it to Mark Andrews and get it to Zay Flowers and those guys. So that's kind of what I'm hoping for, a bigger Derrick Henry game.
Talk to me about the tight ends. Are you playing Mark Andrews this week?
Yeah, I think so. I'd play him.
So you said we're going to go business as usual with these Ravens. We're going to start Zay. We're going to start Derek. We're going to start Mark Andrews. And hopefully that they run the ball a ton, because I feel like the recipe for failure is having Cooper Rush drop back over and over and just let Will Anderson pin his ears back, let Daniel Hunter pin his ears back and just get after it. If they run the ball, keep them on their heels, it's going to be a tough day. It could be a real tough day for the Texans. And like we were saying at the top, you know, it's time to get off the schneid and get a W if you want to keep your playoff hopes alive. Next game we're going to talk about is a bit of a stinker, but there are a lot of fantasy ramifications. The 1-3 New York Football Giants head down to Nollins to take on the 0-4 Saints. Giants getting 1.5. Kind of crazy.
Yeah, I definitely want to take the Giants, but it wouldn't shock me if the Saints got their first win of the year. Like, they've played everybody fairly tough this year. Like, You know, I took them last. I took them last week with the points against Buffalo, and that was definitely the play, man. Like, that was way too many points to be given the Saints. Like, they're not as bad as people think. Like, if they played the Titans right now, I bet you the Saints win. So, I don't mind Rattler if you're like, you know, all the quarterbacks are gone. You got to start somebody like this week. Like, I don't hate Rattler this week. I think he could be okay. Like, I'd rather play Rattler than Dylan Gabriel.
Yes, yeah, I would as well. I'd rather play Rattler over Cooper Rush.
But I
would probably play Carson Wentz. Yeah, and if you have to make the decision tonight, I would play Mac Jones over Spencer Rattler. So if you have to make that decision, I would play Mac Jones.
I think I'd play Rattler over Mac, but it's close.
So then you probably have Rattler kind of pushing the 20s, like right around.
Yeah, probably.
QB 20,
yeah,
QB
like 22. Yeah, somewhere there.
Yeah, makes sense. So the rest of the Saints, though, we're going to play Kamara? Are we going to play Olave? Are we going to play Juwan Johnson? Are we going to play those guys?
Yeah, I'm going to play Kamara. I'm going to play Juwan Johnson. Looked like he did practice today, at least limited. So that's good. Olave, we're playing. Shahid, I'm playing. Juwan, I'm playing.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Playing, yep.
I think this game has a sneaky chance to go over. The only way the score stays low, in my opinion, is if the Giants' defense just completely nails down the Saints and the Giants' offense is just kind of slow. But I think there could be a little bit of push of a pace here. We're indoors. You know, the Saints are hungry. They've been fighting, like you said. Jackson Dart is going to make sure that last week was not a fluke. The defense did play the best they had all year against the Chargers. But I think the 41.5 over is a bit low. So I'm going to hit the over. And I'm going to take the Giants' money line because they are getting juice. So about those Giants, Jackson Dart at the helm. It feels like we're playing Cam Scatabo each and every week, right?
Yes,
he's just the man. I have Scatabo running back 15. This guy's a walking 15 burger with upside. So we're playing Cam Scatabo. But talk to me about Jackson Dart and the pass catchers. Are we firing up, you know, any of those guys on the Giants?
Just one more quick one on the Saints. If you need a flex play or something, like, I don't hate Brandon Cooks. He played 90% of the snaps last week for them, which was first on the team. So, he had, like, what, 4 for 33 or something. So it wasn't great, but he's out there enough to where that's the kind of guys that you want out there that are on the field 90% of the time. With the Giants, I'm playing Dart in a few leagues, so you could tell me from your rankings. I'm going to play Dart over Bo Nix this week.
Oh, interesting. I mean, it's pretty close to my rankings.
Okay.
I got Bo Nix higher, but they're only four spots apart. So, definitely a tier that you could debate.
Yeah, so I think Dart kind of on the road. I think he's going to have to make a few more plays. Obviously, he's got the rushing upside. Sucks without Neighbors, but I picked up a bunch of Darius Slayton this week. I think he could be their new outside number one receiver. I've played Dart and Slayton together as a stack on a couple teams. I like Wandale still, and I like Theo Johnson quite a bit too. Like, I think all these guys could be solid plays this week.
Moving on to the Denver Broncos. You just mentioned Bo Nix, so we're moving on to them. The 2-2 Broncos head to Philly to take on the undefeated defending Super Bowl champs, the Eagles. Eagles are giving 3.5 points, over 43.5 if you want to take the money line. The Broncos are getting 165, Eagles minus 195. Let's start with the visiting Broncos and Bo Nix. You talked about a little bit of trepidation, a little bit of nervousness playing Bo Nix. Is that going to kind of permeate through the entire lineup? Are we nervous about the Broncos this week?
I would say, yeah, like last week was really good, but it was the Bengals. You know, prior to that, like Bo Nix was like struggling to get to like 220 passing yards, if that. So I don't like Bo Nix this much this week against the Eagles. I think you got to play Dobbins. He's been really solid. Harvey, probably have to play him as like a flex play. Cortland Sutton, I really like too. Marvin Mims and Franklin, I have to play them in some leagues just because of all these damn injuries and buys. Right. But I don't necessarily love them in this one.
So Mims or Franklin, which one do you like better?
I think I'm going to go Mims on this one because I think he has the big play upside.
Great call on him last week. You shouted him out on this show. You shouted him out on Start Shit. Great call, Marvin Mims, who had 20 points in some leagues last week. So good call for you. Good call on that. One last question about the Broncos. Is Evan Ingram done and dusted?
It's not looking great. He's probably like a tight end too for me going forward. I still think he can play ball, man, but I think they just use the other tight ends too much, to where he's kind of getting lost in the shuffle.
Yeah, I agree. It's tough for him, and they have really no obligation pass this year with Evan Ingram. So in Dynasty, it's okay to start, you know, saying your goodbyes and trying to figure out, you know, whatever his next step is going to be in your fantasy league. We do have something in the chat, and again, guys, thank you so much for tuning in, tapping in. If you are in the chat, you got a question for us, drop in the chat. And if you want to get to the tippity top of the line, skip everybody, go ahead and leave a little bit of that super chat money, and you will move all the way to the top. But Nolan asks, does he start Justin Fields or Jaden Daniels this week? He loves the vids. We love you, Nolan.
I think if Jaden Daniels is playing, you probably got to play him, even with Samuel out and Noah Brown out and Debo hasn't practiced at all this week. Like, yeah, it doesn't look great, but it's still Jaden Daniels, man. Even though Fields is going up against Dallas's defense that's been torched all year, I don't know. Like, I think in my head and looking at it, like, yeah, I play Fields, but like my mind is like, dude, it's Jaden Daniels. Like, I can't bench that guy for Justin Fields, can I?
It's a tough move. It's a tough move that you'd have to do. Yeah. Right now, I got Jaden Daniels at QB9, but once we know for sure he's playing, and I'm pretty sure he is, he's trending positively, he's going to shoot up to QB4 this week in my rankings. However, Justin Fields is my quarterback 2 this week.
Oh.
That Dallas defense has been so... they just give up so many fantasy points to opposing quarterbacks. We've just seen it now week in and week out. Four times is a pattern. And Fields, again, in absolute garbage time last week, scores a shitload of fantasy points. The guy's a fantasy god. He's not a great quarterback. So if you're a Jets fan, I don't see more than maybe 3 or 4 wins at best. But in our fantasy league, he's so good. He's just he could get it done in a bunch of different ways. So I'm gonna go with Fields, but it is super close. And if you just don't like the risk factor, which I completely understand, a lot of decisions I make, I try to mitigate the risk and yada, yada, yada. So Jaden Daniels, of course, it sucks to bench him, but this might be the one time where your backup could play over Jaden Daniels when Jaden Daniels is on the field. So that's what I'll say.
Just a quick question. Do you have the Amazon feed on right now by chance?
I do not.
The Nature Boy is on there with Charlotte Flair. Love it.
Woo! Where they must be in LA then, right?
Yeah, they're in LA. So yeah, okay. he's all decked out in Rams gear. It's great.
Oh, he's the best. Still yeah. Do it. Limousine riding. All right. Let's talk about the Eagles real quick. Jalen Hurts playing him. Barkley playing him. Goddard playing him. Talk to me about AJ Brown and Devontae Smith.
I think you don't have a choice but to play him, but I don't love him. Some of my leagues where I did have some other options, I've sat Devontae Smith, and if I probably could, I'd probably sit AJ Brown too. Like, I'm done with this bullshit. This 119 passing yard bullshit. Like, they didn't complete a pass in the second half last week, Maddie. Did you know that?
That's crazy. I know. It's insane. It's absolutely insane.
And it's not like Jalen Hurts is terrible. Like, I'm not calling him Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen throwing the ball. I know he's not, but he's not this bad throwing the ball. Like, what happened to the Rams game where they came out firing in the second half and got back in the game and were aggressive throwing the ball down the field? Like, that just completely went away last week against Tampa Bay, and they are so hard to trust. Like, even Jalen Hurts, I have a couple questions about, like, if I want to even play him.
Would you play Hurts or Fields?
Fields. Easy.
Yeah, so he might be looking outside of your top five here. It's tough. This is going to be the last week that I give Brown and Smith the benefit of the doubt based on talent. But it seems like the Eagles just want to keep everyone healthy, keep everything conservative, because they're that damn good in the trenches and they can come out of these games and win. I mean, like you said, they didn't even complete a pass in the second half and they beat a playoff team like the Buccaneers. But when they need to, like the Rams, they were able to absolutely get it rolling. So I need more of that. Really. Yes. I need more of that. Dynasty Berries in the chat. DB, what is going on? How high do you guys have Achan ranked rest of seasons if you had to put a number on it?
5 or 6. I think I'm safe to go there.
Yeah. I have safely inside my top 10 rest of season.
Definitely in the top 10, probably 5, 6.
I'm afraid, if, you know, for every thought that Jalen Waddle is just going to come on a windfall of targets, my worry is that they just keep the roles in terms of volume the same and just dump it off more to Devon Achane, put him out wide just a little bit more, do a little bit more. So I think Devon Achane is going to be a smash rest of season, top five potential type of guy.
Yep.
So, DB, you're good there. Are we rolling out Kyler, Dart, or Dimes for a QB2 spot this week?
Man, I like all three options. I think I would go Danny Dimes.
Nice.
Out of those three.
I got Murray ranked highest, but this is what I will say. 13 Murray, 14 Jones, 15 Dart. So,
right.
If you're saying Dimes and Jay, you're feeling it, go with it because I'm close enough. I know I got Kyler the highest, but they are all back to back to back.
I think with Dimes, the reason I went with him is I think that game has more of a chance to be closer, and you know Dimes is going to have to throw more to kind of keep pace maybe, whereas Kyler, like, it's the Titans. They can't fucking move the ball on offense at all. Like, this game could be over at halftime.
It could. It absolutely could be that. Patty Mills, let's get a Red Sox hype speech. Stick around to the end. Stick around to the end, Patty. I got something for you. I'll give you something here. And it looks like DB just got Achan for a first this year and a 27 second. Hell yeah, brother. Hell yeah. He's going to smash. And I think he's going to smash. I think that's a good move. Is it worth picking up Rashad White to potentially sell to a Bucky owner? I'd have to drop Woody Marks. No, if you have to drop Woody Marks, Nolan, don't do that.
No, you're not dropping Woody.
Nope. No, don't do it. All right, let's move on to the next game, my friend. We're talking about the one. This is going to piss me off all year long that I have to do this. 1-2-1. Dallas Cowboys go to the New York Jets to take on the 0-4 New York team. Jets are getting 2.5 points at home, over under 47.5. Yes, we love to see it. Cowboys minus 140 on the money line, Jets plus 120. Let's start with the Dak Prescott-led Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to play Dak. Massive game last week in week 4. Yep. We're going to go right back to him this week. So we're going to play him. I got him as a top 10 play, even without CeeDee Lamb. But it sounds like Lamb practiced a little bit this week, so maybe it won't be out as long as initially thought. But let's talk about the Dallas Cowboys. Are we just playing the guys that we've been playing? Javonte, check. Ferguson, check. Pickens, yes, please. Is there anyone else that you're excited about other than the main guys?
I don't hate Tolbert if you had to throw him in there as like a flex because you got all the buys and everything and injuries. Like, I don't hate Tolbert. I think he had 4 for 61 last week. If he can get me another 10 points, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, Tolbert was a guy that I was picking up, not on waivers, but just waiting to pick up for free after waivers ran everywhere.
Yeah. I'm curious to see if Jaden Blue gets in there this week, too.
They're leaving a little bit of breadcrumbs that he could see an uptick in opportunities. You know, Miles Sanders was banged up last week, and I don't know.
I don't think he's practiced this week, so.
He got banged up. He's not practicing. And at this point, I know it's a massive draft capital. It's a fourth-round pick, but you took Jaden Blue. You got to see what you got in the kid. I know Javonte's been pretty good, but you want to see if if you know, he could provide that real change of pace, that speed back stuff. So if he was dropped in your redraft league, that's a guy that I'm stashing this week because he has the explosiveness, he has the home run ability that if he just breaks one, he's going to be a fab breaker. He's going to be an absolute destroyer of worlds. So I just want to make sure that he's stashed on my bench cheaply. And if he sucks, cut him loose. Boop. We're out about it. So that's a good call. You brought him up. But on the Jets side of things, we talked about Fields, Breece Hall. You're playing Breece. Garrett Wilson, you're playing him all day, every day. But I want to ask you about Mr. Mason Taylor. The rookie had a bunch of volume last week, looked pretty good with it. Are we ready to start firing up some Mason Taylor in leagues?
Yeah, I've had a couple of my leagues where I had to throw him in because buys and injuries and all that too. So I don't hate it. Like, he finally got some volume last week, and they're not throwing the other receivers. Like, Josh Reynolds was out there for a ton of snaps, and I don't even think he got two targets. That was it. Tyler Johnson, healthy scratch. So, like, they're kind of done with these wide receivers. I kind of think Mason Taylor and Breece Hall are kind of the, like, second and third options on this team.
I agree. Travion or JCM this week, Eric?
I'm going to go with Travion. I mean, I think regardless, Bill is going to be in a three-way committee. Yeah, I guess Travion is kind of too, but Gibson don't scare me. So I'm going to go Travion this week in a game where I think they're going to need his skill to, like, make some plays if they're going to move on offense.
I agree. I'm going Travion this week. I did, side note, I do want to ask you this, and everyone listening can get a little look behind the mirror. I was offered Christian McCaffrey for my Travion in a first. It's not really a full dynasty league. It's a 10-man keeper league, so it's run more like a series of redrafts. That's kind of how the market plays. So I know, like, on the surface, a first and Travion for CMC is a massive overpay, but in this league, that's kind of how it would go. But I declined. What do you think?
I think you're probably right keeping Travion on the first. I think it's close, but I think I like your side better, Travion in the first.
Yeah, the ultimate reason why I did pass wasn't so much, I thought, you know, I don't know, I might, everyone
could be. It's basically
could be a,
two firsts for McCaffrey, and I think that's too much.
That's exactly what it is. But and when I everyone could be a Christian McCaffrey away from being a championship contender, obviously. But if I were to move on from that, and he gets hurt, now I'm screwed at all my first. My team will be trash if I don't have Christian McCaffrey. Not trash, but a middling team at best. So, yeah, I had to turn it down. But I wanted to bring that up because Travion came up, but it's all right. All right, next game we're going to talk about the 1-3 Las Vegas Raiders head to Indy to take on the 3-1 Colts. Raiders are getting 6.5 points. Over under 47.5 is a number we love to see. Raiders plus 240 on the money line. Colts minus 290. Vegas Raiders, we saw the breakout game for Ginty. So all the Ginty drafters, you can have a nice sigh of relief. He says apparently arrived. You could just give me your quick synopsis on the offense as a whole, because it seems like we know the guys. There isn't much wiggle room. But, you know, maybe talk a little bit about Tucker as well, because Trey Tucker was big game. Kind of disappeared. How do you like the Raiders offense against the Colts this week?
Yeah, for some weird reason, he has the weird home road splits this year. Like, Geno's been fantastic on the road. Three touchdowns against Washington. I think he had two against the Patriots week one. And then his two home games has been absolute fucking catastrophic disaster. Like, it's been bad at home. Like, I had to start him last week in a bunch of leagues, and he screwed me. But he's on the road this week, so I think it's a beatable matchup to where I think the Colts' defense is, you know, middle of the road. I don't think they're anything that's, you know, going to stop Brock Bowers and Myers and everything. So I don't mind Geno this week. Definitely playing Genty. You're playing Jacoby Myers. I think Trey Tucker's a solid flex play just because it's that road split, and he's got the fast track and the dome and everything like that. So I don't mind that. And obviously you're playing Bowers.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I got Geno Smith at QB12, so I'm gonna follow the home road splits for now. And I think once Geno's like a top 12 type of guy in a given matchup, that's when, you know, just fire it up. Don't even get so much worried. That's when the Tucker can kind of pop off. Or if you're completely desperate, a Thornton, you know, those guys could go off. But in terms of the usuals, you're sticking to them. They've been good enough. On the Colts side of things, I think we could kind of just sprint through this because Jonathan Taylor has been so good. There's nothing to discuss.
Yeah, he might be RB1 on the week,
Exactly. And then pass catching seems pretty straightforward. We're playing Michael Pittman. There's a chance for one guy to make a big play if it's A.D. Mitchell, if it's Alec Pierce, if it's Josh Downs, but none of them are truly fantasy consistent. Maybe play him now with the injuries and buys, but we're not all excited. And then Tyler Warren. Tyler Warren's a stud, weekly top 10 play. I have Tyler Warren at tight end 4 this week. Should be able to handle the Raiders, no problem. Wouldn't even be mad if he comes out as tight end 1 overall in the week. I think he has that type of upside. So I'll just leave you with this question. Danny Dimes, we talked about him briefly. You would have picked him over those other group of guys. Where do you have him ranked, and are you going back to the Danny Dimes well?
Yeah, like, I'd probably play Dimes over, like, Mahomes this week.
Ooh, that's spicy.
Yeah, Dimes over, like, I probably would play Fields. Dimes and Dak is an interesting one to me, kind of the guys we've talked about so far. I'd probably play Dimes over Drake May, even though Drake May's been really good. Like, it's a tough Buffalo defense. Yeah, I mean, I'm probably on top 12 for Dimes this week against a pretty shitty Raiders defense.
You know, I think just based on the name game you just played, you might even have him inside your top 8.
Yeah, it could be, for sure.
So I think that's a good call.
And anywhere.
If we're thinking these quarterbacks are going to be able to both be productive, I think this is a game that could even hit the over. The number was high, but this is a game that could shoot out indoors. Defenses are good, not great. Could be disruptive. Could get a defensive touchdown because they do make plays, which obviously bumps the over-under. So I think we're going to like this game for fantasy football. Next matchup is a pair of 1-3 Dunderuskis. The Miami Dolphins head to Carolina to take on the Panthers. Dolphins are giving a point and a half as road favorites. Over under 44.5. -120 for the Dolphins, even when we're talking money line in this game. Let's start with the Dolphins side of things. Tyreek Hill, sayonara in fantasy football. Hope you have a speedy recovery. It's over for him in 2025. So how does this Dolphins offense look after Tyreek Hill? We just talked about Achane being a smash, so we can kind of leave that alone. We already know that. But talk to me about the pass catchers. Jaylen Waddle, Darren Waller, Malik Washington. How do you see it looking without Tyreek Hill in the fold?
Yeah, I definitely think Waddle and Waller are going to be, you know, two of the top pass catchers. And I think Malik Washington, this is his chance to kind of play Tyreek Hill's role. I think that's kind of what he was brought in to do. So I don't hate, you know, Malik Washington this week as like a flex play. So I think he's a good one. But I think those are the only three you could play: Achane, Waller, Waddle, and Malik Washington. So 4.
Yeah, I got Malik Washington at wide receiver 33. I think you could have a big week. I love Waddle this week. I know the Carolina Panthers haven't been the best matchup for wide receivers.
They are
one of
the weirdest teams.
But they're just, exactly, they're a weird team. They just gave up 100 yards to Diggs. So there is obviously opportunity. And then this game, the defenses aren't great overall. So I think these offenses can kind of push the pace. So I'm with you there. I think those four guys are startable. Tua, I don't really have him ranked all that high. He is a QB2 for me, though. So in Superflex, I guess you could play him over some guys. I am playing him over CJ Stroud. I will say that. And I am playing him over the guy he's going up against, Bryce Young. So let's transition to the Panthers. Bryce Young, looks like Chuba Hubbard's going to miss. So is this Dowdle? Are you going to play Dowdle? Tet McMillan, he's just a weekly play at this point. How do you see this Panthers team, you know, panning out in week 5?
Yeah, I think Bryce is like a back end quarterback to Dowdle. If he's the starter, I think you got to play him for sure. They brought him in to back up Chuba, and he can catch the ball and all that stuff. So yeah, I think Dowdle's a very solid RB2 if he's the unquestioned starter this week. You're playing Tet. I don't hate Tommy Tremble if you're hurting at tight end. I think that's about it. That's about all the guys I want to play on Carolina.
I did add me some Tommy Tremble in some desperation spots. You know, he had a good output last week. We even saw Mitchell Evans in garbage time play well, so it's just showing, you know, this offensive scheme.
Sanders is going to miss probably again, too.
He's been trending downwards. You know, he hasn't been ruled out officially yet, but he hasn't practiced. He had a high ankle sprain. I even think next week might be out of the, you know, might be too soon for a return when you have a high ankle sprain. So if you're desperate, Tommy Tremble. This next game at 4:05, the first of the 4 o'clock Eastern Standard Time games, might be my favorite game of the week. The 3-1 Tampa Bay Buccaneers head to take on the 3-1 Seattle Seahawks. Seahawks giving 3.5 points at home, 45.5 over under, plus 165 for the Buccaneers, minus 195 for the Seahawks. Let's start with the Buccaneers side of things. Mike Evans out, Chris Godwin in, Bucky Irving out. And if it is, are we firing up Rashad White? So tell me about, talk to me about the Buccaneers offense.
Yeah, they are in some a world of trouble here, man, with these injuries. I kind of actually want to look up. I thought I saw, let's see, where am I looking at? Search. Anyways, I thought Godwin was going to be not out, but I thought he's missed practice the first 2 days. I don't know if you've seen that too.
I haven't, but I can look it up.
Yeah, I can't find the search feature on this thing, but I thought I saw something about Godwin has kind of missed the first 2 days too, so like that. I don't know if that's just maintenance or whatever. Baker returned to practice today. Bucky did not practice. Not seeing anything on Godwin.
It said Chris Godwin practiced in full on Wednesday. I don't know if maybe he had a limited day for maintenance, so it seems like he's going to play.
Okay, all right. So maybe I was reading something wrong. So, yeah, I mean, Godwin will be in there. Buka will be in there. Baker will be in there. But, yeah, without Bucky kind of sucks. I think if Rashad, you know, if you had Rashad White, this is the whole reason that you got him. So I think you got to play him. I think Sean Tucker can be a sneaky little play, too. I've had to put some Sean Tucker into some lineups in desperation. Kate Otten, I'm not touching the tight ends. Their tight ends have been fucking poopy this year, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To say it politely, they have been very, very poopy. But for the Buccaneers, I think we kind of go in with this game plan that we know what we're doing. We know who we're playing. There's nothing sneaky about it. Rashad White is going to be a top 25 running back for me this week if Bucky Irving is out. And tomorrow, the Friday practice, is the most important practice. Reports came out immediately that if he's still in that walking boot by Friday, you can pretty much bet your bottom dollar he is going to be out in week 5. So we'll know for sure on Friday, but it doesn't look good. I don't think you can go from crutches and a walking boot to Wednesday to playing at a high level on Sunday. Feels like at this point in the season, there's no point to rush it. Let him bark. He's such a weapon. Let him get healthy. So could be a nice week for Rashad White. And on the Seattle Seahawks side of things, Sam Darnold. He's been okay, but not great. Right around QB20 on the season. What do you think he could do in this game? And is it possible that this could be a shootout that we're playing everybody? Because we like the Buccaneers offense. Do we like the Seahawks the same way?
Seahawks defense has been really good. I think the most points they've given up this year in a game is 20. So they hold opponents down quite a bit here. And I think with a lot of these Buccaneers injuries, like I think it's going to be tough for the Buccaneers to score some points. They might be – maybe they get to 21, 24, but I don't think they're hitting much more than that. So, Darnold has been – he's been very good this year, but not fantasy good, if that makes sense. Right. So I don't mind Darnold this week if you have to throw him in there. Ken Walker, you're playing. I think you got to play him over Charbonnet. JSN's an auto smash every single week. I don't hate Cooper Kupp because I think this is going to be a matchup like maybe they have to throw a little bit more. So I do like some Cooper Kupp. AJ Barner's not a terrible tight end. Like if you had Barner or Kate Otten, I'm playing AJ Barner, kind of like that. So
let's play a little name game with Cooper Kupp because that's an interesting one you bring up. Cooper Kupp or Jalen Tolbert?
I think I go with Cooper Kupp on that one.
Cooper Kupp or the secondary Broncos guys, Mims or Franklin? You said Mims is your preferred option, so Mims or Cooper Kupp?
I think I'm going to go Cooper Kupp over those guys, too. I think this game could be, a spot where the Seahawks have to throw a little bit more.
Last one here, Malik Washington or Cooper Kupp?
Ooh, that one's a good... I think I'm going to lean Washington on that one.
What a wild world we live in, Mr. Eric Vanek. What a wild world we live in. And just to... I'm not putting you... I'm not sending you up Schitt's Creek without a paddle. I have Cooper Kupp ranked at 49 this week. I have Malik Washington 34. So, yes, I, too, am very much playing Cooper Kupp, Malik Washington over Cooper Kupp. All right, next game here, Tennessee Titans. They're looking for their first win, and they head to Arizona to take on the 2-2 Cardinals. Titans getting a touchdown and a half, 7.5 points as road underdogs. 42.5 over-under is Kakapoopoo. Plus 320 on the money line for the Titans, minus 425 for the Cardinals. Let's start with the Titans. Are you playing anybody? Who would you be excited about playing other than maybe Tony Pollard right now?
That's about it. Simple as that. Tony Pollard.
I mean, Ridley was a you couldn't do it last week. That was, you could explain away the first 3 weeks because of the matchups. You could explain it away. And I know last week he was still Derek Stingley, but he's been banged up. And there was so much garbage time, and he still wasn't fantasy relevant. He still didn't produce for us. I think I'm done ties. I think I'm done with Calvin until he shows me something. And I'm with
yes.
you. I'm still playing Pollard. It's going to be the most aggressive 10.5 points, the 12.5 fantasy points. But, man, that is so valuable to lock into your running back two spot. Give me those double digits, especially now with the injuries and the buys. Give me double digits. I got him at running back 17. It's not going to be pretty. I do think he has, you know, 20-point upside if he scores because the pass catching is there. And it does seem like Tajay Spears is on his way back, but I don't know if it's going to happen this week. What do you think about Spears?
Yeah, I kind of would have to wait to see what the reports say. He might not play this week, like you said, but I think he's really close. Like, it's either this week or next week. So he'd be like a flex play at best, but I personally would rather just sit him until I see it.
Got to see. I agree with that. Arizona Cardinals side of things. Trey McBride, yes, please. You're playing him. Kyler, we both like him. We don't love him, but you are probably playing him where you can. We are playing guys like Danny Dimes. We are playing guys like Justin Fields. Are you playing Geno Smith or Kyler Murray?
I think I would go Kyler, but I don't love it.
Yeah, I am back-to-back. So I got Smith higher, but like I said, back-to-back. But let's talk about Marv. Maserati Marv. Great week one, kind of fell asleep there in week two and three. Week four was good. Thought he was going to have a horrible game, and he did it for NFL standards. I mean, he gave away a pick and just wasn't clicking, but ended up doing it for us in fantasy points, pushing around 20 fantasy points. I think it was 18. Where do you have him? Are you comfortable playing him this week? You already have him in the wide receiver two, wide receiver three range.
I would probably say wide receiver two. Like, if you have him against this shitty Titans team and you're not playing him, what's the point of even having him? Like, this is the primo matchup. But I also get this gross feeling that this is Kyler, and he sometimes shits the bed in these situations where they should win. You know what I mean? And like, this could be the Titans' first win on the year. It wouldn't even shock me if that happened. But I don't think it's gonna be likely. But we'll see. Yeah, I mean, I have my reservations, but you got to play these guys. This is a prime matchup.
I agree. You got to play the guys in this type of matchup. Now let's finish with the running backs on the Cardinals side of things. No James Conner, no Trey Benson. Emery DiMercato, Michael Carter, Bam Knight. Those are the three names. Rank the three, and which of the three are you excited about or even having to play this week?
I think Carter is going to be the main rusher, and DiMercato is going to stick into his third down back role. I think DiMercato could be somebody that could carry the load if they needed to, but I think they kind of want to split it here. So
I'm nervous that they do split it, but I'm hoping at least it's just a two-headed backfield, not three.
Yeah.
It sounds like the reports are coming out that Michael Carter will be the 1 and 2, where DiMercato is the fast pace and passing down type things. But DiMercato is bigger, so I could see him also getting the goal line work. I got DiMercato outside of my top 25, but right there at 26. That's the guy I'm playing if I have to, but I am playing Carter in some spots because I do think I agree with you. I think we do see a little bit of a two-headed monster there.
A little bit of breaking news that just came in. Brock Bowers was listed as limited today, but it was actually a DNP. So Bowers did not practice today.
Good. Well, not good. Terrible bit of news, but I'm glad it was broken here on the walkthrough. Got some questions in the chat. Gross start sick question. Hollywood, Brown, or Stephon Diggs? He does have Worthy and doesn't really want to play them both. So you going Diggs or Hollywood?
I would play Diggs. I think revenge game, they're going to want to get him the ball, coming off a really good game. And Hollywood, I think he's taken a backseat to, like, Worthy in that. So I would rather have Diggs.
I'm going Diggs in the revenge game. Give me Diggs Sunday Night Football. You know, like Fizz always says, if you can go last, go last. You have, you know, that final say. So I'm going to go with Diggs there. Monty or Pollard?
Monty by like 17 light years.
Monty by 17 light years. I love it. All right, we're moving into, you know, we're, you know, getting into the home stretch here. Games 2-2, Washington Commies go to L.A. to take on the 3-1 Superchargers. Commanders getting 2.5 points on the road, 47.5 over under. Commanders plus 130 on the money line, minus 150 for the Chargers. It sounds like Jaden Daniels is going to play. So what does that mean for this offense? Because Terry McLaurin already ruled out, ain't even making the trip to La La Land. How do we see this playing with Jaden without Terry McLaurin?
Yeah, so I think Jaden's going to have to do a lot on his own. He's going to have to run, going to have to be really efficient throwing the ball. They have this three-headed running back backfield. Like, I think they're going to have to run the ball quite a bit and be successful in that. Receiver-wise, I'm hoping Debo plays, but he hasn't practiced either. So they're missing both of those guys. It's Luke McCaffrey. It's Jalen Lane. It's, God, I don't even remember who else they have off the top of my head. So it could be a little ugly. Like, it could be a big Ertz game. Maybe we get Ben Sinnott, we see a sighting of him for a change. I don't know.
I think we see a lot of rushes overall in this game. And people, get out your phones and hammer the under now while you still can. 47.5 for this matchup with these injuries is entirely too high. Because we all know Harbaugh can turn up the heat, but he is A-OK playing a game where Amarian Hampton runs the ball 30 times and he wins 13-5. 35, that's a ridiculous score. 13-6, 13-10, whatever. 13 points is the point of the whole conversation. So I'm not really over-optimistic about anyone in this game. Of course, I'm playing the guys that deserve to be played. You know, we know the names. You talked about them on the Washington side, but let's talk about on the Chargers side. Herbert, Hampton, QJ, Keenan, smoke them if you got them, right?
Yep, I'm playing all those guys. I'm sticking with Ladd, man. Like, I don't think Ladd's
crazy.
Bad.
I just did not bring up Ladd McConkey.
Yeah,
I'm crazy.
I'm sticking with him. Like, he's way too good to not get used. Like, I get it. QJ and Keenan are on fucking heaters right now, but Ladd McConkey's way too good and had way too good of a, you know, chemistry last year with Herbert to be this bad. So I'm still sticking with Ladd where I got him. And then Rondae Gadsden, man, he's led 2 weeks in a row as their leading tight end. I think Disley is limited practice so far, so we might have Disley back this week, which I'll be interested to see how that plays in with Gadsden. But if Disley misses again, I think Gadsden could be a solid play.
Gadsden, you know, I know the numbers weren't there in his second week of action, week four, but the praise was still there. And when you watch it, it was pretty good on film, so... Gadsden is a guy that, you know, might not be worth a start quite yet, but he's on his way up. He's definitely on his way up. He's looking like a potential fantasy-relevant tight end sooner rather than later. Let's get into the last 4 o'clock Eastern Standard Time game. The 3-1 Detroit Lions head on to Cincinnati to take on the 2-2 Bengals. Over-under 49.5. Bengals are getting 10 points, and they are plus 425 in the money line, where the Lions are minus 650. This is another holy cow type of spread. But let's start with the Lions side of things. Play, right? Well, is there anyone you're sitting?
Yeah, that over is – I kind of want to hit the under on that one, to be honest with you.
Of the 50 – if you're going to take the over, so you're saying 50 – you must be saying to yourself the Lions are going to put up a 40 burger.
Yeah, like 35 at minimum.
I don't know if I could see the Bengals putting up 15 points.
Right. Yeah, so I kind of
maybe
like the
maybe. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like this is like I've been telling people though with Jake Breyer. I'll just get on the Bengals here for a second. He's played the Vikings and he played the Broncos, his first two starts.
Those
back.
Are tough D's, yeah.
Like, two of the toughest defenses in the entire league. It's going to get better here for Browning. Like, these people that are panicking, like, it's not going to be this bad all year, guys. And they've pretty much have committed to him and stuck with him. So, but Lions side, like you talked about, playing Goff, you're playing Monty, you're playing Gibbs, you're playing J-Mo, you're playing Amon-Ra, you're playing Laporta. Just play him.
Are you at any point in any of your teams where you're benching the Higgins, the Chase, Brown, Jamar Chase? Are you benching any of those guys?
I'm not benching Chase. I've benched some Chase Brown. I've benched some T. Higgins in some spots, yes.
Let's move on to Sunday night football. The 2-2 New England Patriots head to Orchard Park to take on the 4-0 Bills. Patriots are getting at 7.5 points. Over under 49.5. Patriots plus 340 on the money line, minus 450 for the Bills. Of course, I took my New England Patriots on the money line because why not? Why the F not? But let's start there. Let's start with the Patriots. Drake May, Travion Henderson, Ramondre Stevenson. You know, which of these guys are we excited about playing? And then talk to me about the pass catchers.
I like the Patriots with the points in this one, to be honest with you. Like, it's a division game. Like, these teams know each other very well. Like, these games are usually close. And I think, you know, 7.5 points is quite a bit to a team that just dropped 42 on somebody. So, I think Drake May is probably a back end quarterback one. Like I told you earlier, I'd rather play Dimes over him. Mm-hmm. I think I would play, this one could come back to bite me, but I think I would play May over Kyler, even though Kyler's got a better matchup. So it's close there. Yeah, the running backs are tough, man. I think I would play Travion over the Rhino. I just don't trust the Rhino. Diggs, I'm playing. I don't know if I could play any of the other receivers. Like, Butte has been super inconsistent since week one.
Butte has been booty since week one.
DeMario Douglas, no, might as well just cut him at this point, the way his snap trend has been going. Like, you know, they play Mac Hollins all the time because he's a pro, blah, blah, blah. Like, let's get Kyle Williams in there, please.
Efton Chisholm, anyone?
Chisholm, yeah. Like, and Hunter Henry, he's been one of the best tight ends in the league. I think you got to play him for sure.
Yeah, you got to play him. The if there is a weakness of the Bills, it's like their safety / linebacker play.
Yep.
Kind of where they're going to need Hunter Henry to be do good. And that's what you brought up earlier in the show, and that's why I agreed with it. Travion's also going to have to use some of that explosiveness, some of that speed over the middle part of the field. And it's only a matter of time, right? I mean, this kid's too talented. He got too good a draft capital. He's in the right situation. It's only a matter of time until he takes off. So
yeah.
I'm going to play him. On the Bills side of things, Josh Allen, no analysis needed. Same thing with James Cook. He's a stud. Dalton Kincaid, do you like him this week?
I've had to play him, but I've also benched him in a couple spots too. So like he's on like the borderline for me, even though he's been having all these touchdowns every week. But they play all three tight ends quite a bit. Like Jackson Hawes led the team last week in snaps for the tight ends, the rookie. And obviously it's mostly because he's a really good blocker and he's in there for blocking. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like Kincaid's like one of those borderline top tight end ones for me.
Kincaid or Dallas Goedert?
Kincaid. I can't trust the Eagles in this passing game. Like, I know he got two touchdowns last week, but they were fluky as all hell.
Kincaid or TJ Hockenson?
Kincaid.
Kincaid or Travis Kelce?
I think I'll go Kelce.
Little Kelce on Monday Night Football. I love it.
Yeah.
Now, real quick, rank the wide receivers for the Bills. You can just keep it to the main two. Is, you know, Khalil Shakir, Keon Coleman, who's number one, who's number two for you?
I would go Shakir. I think he's got a little bit easier matchup in the slot, to whereas Keon Coleman might get a little Christian Gonzalez. So I'd probably go Shakir than Coleman.
Last game on the week 5 slate. Thank you guys so much for hanging out. Thank you, you know, every single Thursday night for coming hang out with us for an hour. But let's go with the Monday Night Football game. The Chiefs are 2-2, and they head to Jacksonville to take on the 3-1 Jaguars. Jaguars are getting the 3.5 points as home underdogs. 46.5 over-under, money line, minus 190 for the Chiefs, plus 160 for the Jaguars. On the Chiefs side of things, we talked about Kelce briefly. Is he a lock starter for you, or is he a fringe starter for you this week?
You said who again? I'm sorry.
Kelce.
Kelce. I'm probably playing him if I got him. Like, I haven't sat him anywhere, so yeah, I'm going to go with him in this one. I think I kind of like the Jags at plus 3.5 at home in this one, man. Like, I just think that's a I don't want to say a trap game, but you know, that home crowd's going to be ready to go. Jacksonville's playing, you know, decent defense right now. I think that could be a a good spot to bet on Jacksonville in this one.
So we're going to play Kelce. We're going to play Mahomes. We're going to play Xavier Worthy. But let's talk about the running backs. Kareem Hunt, Isaiah Pacheco, Cheek scored last week. But the rumors are floating around that Preshad Smith's going to get a little bit of upage in usage this week. Are you playing any of these dang running backs in Kansas City?
If I can avoid it, I don't want to play any of them. I think, I know Pacheco got the touchdown last week, but I think Kareem Hunt is more the guy that they would use at the goal line. So if they do get in that spot, I think Kareem Hunt has the best chance to get the touchdown. So I would start Hunt of the three running backs.
So I have them bunched together, and the highest one ranked is running back 38, so I'm avoiding at all cost. So your favorite is Kareem Hunt, so let's do a quick name game. Kareem Hunt or Chris Rodriguez?
I think I'll go Kareem Hunt.
Kareem Hunt or Michael Carter?
Probably Carter.
Kareem Hunt or Kendre Miller?
Ooh, that's a good one. I'm going to go Kendre. He looked really good last week, so I'll give Kendre the nod there.
And the last one, Kareem Hunt or Blake Corum, if you have to make the decision here on Thursday night.
I'd go Kareem Hunt.
Yeah. Okay. All right, let's talk about the Jaguars side of things. Trevor Lawrence, are we done with him? Are we done?
I was done with him about 3 years ago.
It's about time. He's done. We're done with him.
I mean, this could be a decent game for them. I want to see them get it going. Like, Travis Hunter, I don't think he played a defensive snap at all in the second half last week.
No, he played a lot more offense, yeah.
Yeah, so he's been in there as like their slot receiver now. I just want to see him get used more. Like, this could finally be a good spot for him. Like, Brian Thomas is not this bad. Like, they got to get it going here at some point. Dyami Brown should be back this week. Brenton Strange is a really solid tight end this year. ETN has been fantastic. Tootin's coming along. Their offensive line's playing solid. Their defense is really good. Like, Jacksonville's, I think that they're prime for an upset here. So I'm going to stick with my main guys here. Like, if I have to play Lawrence, I'm okay. ETN's a start. Thomas is a start. I'm probably still benching Hunter. I don't trust it. And I think Strange is a top 12 tight end for this week, probably more back end.
That's it, everybody. That's the Week 5 slate. This is the walkthrough. Eric, let the people know, where can they find you?
Yeah, you can find me at Eric Vanek NFL on X, at America's Game Pod on X as well. That episode dropped this morning with Dan from the Fantasy Pipeline on the South Harmon feed. We went over pretty much all our top five prospects at each position so far this year: quarterback, running back, receiver, and our top three tight ends in 2026 college football so far. So went through that and kind of told you, hey, should you hold on to your 2026 picks or should you trade them? You know, all that good stuff. So check that episode out.
He's Eric Vanek, NFL on X. I'm at Matty Kiwoom. Of course, you can find me here at South Harmon. And don't forget, guys, start a shit on Sunday. Noon Eastern Standard Time on this channel. Be there or be square. And, of course, as always, head to southharmonff.com. Get the Warp Tool. We are in the thick of the season. Now is the time to get the damn Warp Tool, everybody. And make sure you subscribe to the South Harmon Fantasy YouTube channel. Like this video. Leave a comment. Who are some of your favorite plays in Week 5? He's Eric Vanek. I'm Matty Kuhn. We will walk you through next week. Peace.